Here's an issue that presidential candidates don't debate that much, but that voters do. It's paid family leave. Some people get it, most don't. And it's the first of several largely overlooked issues that we're going to discuss on NPR News in this election year. NPR's Tamara Keith is here. Hi, Tam.
Hey.
How big a deal is this?
It's a pretty big deal. Work-life balance is something that people are talking about all the time, everywhere, on playgrounds, on the weekends, Facebook. It's less commonly discussed in the political debate, but it is one of these things that affects real people's lives.
Isn't there a law that allows family leave?
Yes, the Family Medical Leave Act was passed in the 1990s, but that's unpaid leave. What's changed since then is that there are more women in the workforce than ever. There are more women who are the primary breadwinners in their families.
Yeah.
Also, men want to take paternity leave. And the big issue is that although they're allowed to take leave, most people can't afford to take that leave if it's unpaid. Let me give you an example of a person who's affected by this.
Who is it?
Nancy Glynn, who is a 27-year-old mom. She told me, and this is pretty common, that she had never thought about paid family leave until she got pregnant.
I thought I had some paid leave. Like that was probably the biggest thing. And then I started looking through my employee handbooks and I was going, wait a minute. No, I don't.
Glynn is a waitress from Manchester, New Hampshire. Her husband is a warehouse supervisor. Neither of them get paid vacation or sick time, and they don't get paid family leave. And she let me ride along with her as she picked her son up from preschool.
Hi, Bob.
Did pretty well today.
Did he?
He is the sweetest kid in the world. Hunter is 4 years old, but when he was born, he was premature. 2 months. He was only 2 pounds, 10 ounces, and he was basically fighting for his life.
And do you want gummies or crackers?
Candy.
Crackers.
Hunter was in the neonatal intensive care unit for more than a month. And all the while, Nancy Glynn says that she and her husband were getting notices of overdue bills. So she told me she went on a diet.
I call it the NICU diet.
The NICU diet, N-I-C-U?
Yeah, neonatal intensive care unit diet.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't about weight loss. This was about survival. They didn't have real food for the parents in the NICU.
What they did have, though, is they had crackers. They had crackers, they had graham crackers, you know, and they had those little tiny juices that, you know, in all honesty, you need to have 3 of those things to really equal out to 1 glass. Well, that's what I survived on, honestly, for weeks. I hardly ate anything.
She says she couldn't afford the food in the hospital cafeteria, and so she lived on crackers.
What made her situation so financially tight?
In large part, it's because the whole time she was out of work and at the hospital with her son, she wasn't getting paid. And because Hunter was premature, they hadn't had as much time to save up to plan for this. Earlier this year, Glynn's family was hit hard again. She had another son named Sawyer, and he was premature as well, and he only lived for an hour. And a little less than 3 months later, she had to be back at work.
When it was time for me to go back to work, the first question everybody asks you is, are you really ready to come back? And I wasn't. And I'm still not completely myself yet.
You know, the bills couldn't wait.
They kept my job, which was fantastic. And, you know, they were supportive in the sense of, you know, emotionally being there. But unfortunately, financially, we couldn't handle it. Even now, you know, just yesterday, we were trying to group our money together to be able to keep our heat from getting disconnected again.
What you're hearing here is one family's struggle, but what advocates will tell you is that there are millions of other families in a similar bind. I spoke to a woman named Kristen Rao Finkbeiner. She's with a group called Moms Rising, who's been pushing on this particular issue. And she says that most people internalize this. They don't think about this as a policy problem. They think about it as a personal problem.
People are realizing that when this many people are having the exact same problem at the exact same time, we don't have an epidemic of personal failings where people simply just couldn't cobble together non-existent access to sick days or to paid time off. We have actually a national structural problem that we can solve together.
structural problem. How many Americans have paid family leave compared to those who don't?
According to the Department of Labor, only 12% of private sector employees have access to a formal paid family leave program. 39% can sort of piece it together.
Okay, so what are the candidates proposing to do about this? Presidential candidates, if they're proposing anything.
Both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, who are running for the Democratic nomination, want a federal program offering 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave. Sanders would pay for it with a payroll tax that's split by the employer and the employee. Clinton says she doesn't want to raise taxes on the middle class, so she would pay for it with other tax increases on the wealthy. On the Republican side, the only candidate who was really talking about it was Marco Rubio, and he has dropped out.
Sure.
He wanted to do more of a private sector approach, which would have had a tax credit for employers who offered paid family leave.
Well, what do voters think about a federal approach to this issue that's been handled up to now by individual states or companies?
There's clearly a level of support for it because New York just added a program. California just expanded its program.
Mm-hmm.
But polling would show that while there is widespread support for the idea, that support is shallow. It is still seen largely as a women's issue, as a personal problem rather than a public policy problem. And one reason for that, in part, is because people perceive it as being just about maternity and paternity leave, even though it can affect more than new mothers. It can affect people who have a family member with an illness or someone who is sick themselves.
Tamara, thanks very much.
You're welcome.